This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Welcome to the Thursday, November 29th, 2018 edition of the Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart alongside Chris Kreidel. It's 33 degrees in Chicago, topping out at 36. A cloudy afternoon, but not nearly as cold. The complete AccuWeather forecast is on the way. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. The markets are still in the red, but they're staging a bit of a comeback right now. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Rob. It's remarkable when you think about the losses we saw earlier of more than a half to three quarters of a percent, cutting that down to the Dow down just 0.2% or 53 points. NASDAQ off 11, S&P down 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is losing less than 0.1%. We are spending more money, giving the biggest part of our economy a solid start to the quarter. The Commerce Department says our purchases rose 0.6% last month. The forecast in a Bloomberg survey was for a 0.4% gain. Incomes up 0.5%, also more than projected and the most since January. This other report, though, not so hot. Filings for U.S. unemployment benefits rose for a third week to the highest level since May, but that may be because the periods included Veterans Day and Thanksgiving. Jobless claims rose 14,000 more for the week than forecast. Oil is higher by 3% now, closing in on $52. Back to you, Rob.
And on today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be talking more about U.S.-China trade and the discussions that are going on there. Also, a lot of people want to be Chicago mayor. We're going to talk about some of the what they're talking about and some of the issues in that election.
And it's Technology Thursday. We will talk about the degree to which Apple really does move the market. And holiday spending. Do you know how much your spouse spends on Christmas presents for others? A lot of couples don't. And that is a source of friction. We'll talk about that coming up later in the hour.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The race for mayor of Chicago carries major implications for the city's economy and the business community. We're going to be covering that in our next segment. But right now, we've had a little time to digest the comments made in New York yesterday by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. Let's discuss Fed policy and trade with David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver. And he is the author of the book, Understanding Central Banking. Let's try to understand what the Fed chairman said yesterday and what he possibly meant, David.
It's a joy to have a Fed chair who is a straight talker, and I certainly think Jerome Powell gave us a rather straight talk yesterday. The markets certainly liked his words. What do we have, a 617-point increase? What I would say is this. Benjamin Powell feels that we're just about at that range for a normal interest rate, a federal funds rate, the overnight rate of perhaps somewhere between 2.5% and 3.5%. If we get another rate hike in December, that will bring us right up to the lower end of that 2.5% to 3.5% range. I think what Chairman Powell was simply saying is, I'm not sure exactly where within that range the so-called neutral federal funds rate is. Remember, that's the rate that neither stimulates nor depresses the economy. And I think he's ready to experiment a little bit. So my guess is we get another rate hike in December, at most one more early next year, which would get us into the lower end of that range. And then Chairman Powell is simply going to look at the economy and allow his decision to be based on the data. Sometimes the Fed has said their decision is based on the data, and it isn't. But this time, they mean it.
And do you approve of what we're seeing there?
I do. I think some people in the market overreacted to Chairman Powell's comments. This was not a cave-in to President Trump, who doesn't want to see rate hikes. It was simply Powell saying, look, I'm just human. I figure somewhere between 2.5% and 3.5% is where that where that normal rate should be, but I'm going to experiment a little bit to see where it actually is.
And President Trump is on his way to Buenos Aires, Argentina, for the G20 summit. He says he's going to talk to Chinese President Xi Jinping about getting something going on tariffs between the U.S. and China. Is there a sense of urgency, though, in terms of getting something out of those talks while China's economy is slowing down? And it appears that ours is doing just the same.
Well, it certainly is a sense of urgency. I hope the president feels that way. His preliminary comments to getting on the helicopter suggested that he's ready to make a deal, or at least he's beginning to prepare the groundwork for a deal on trade with China. I just hope he makes at least some progress, because with an economy that is basically in good health, I would say, and indeed the Fed chair said we have solid growth and low unemployment, that cloud of uncertainty with regard to simply earnings next year, if all those tariffs that our president is suggesting might happen, would hurt profits, not to mention the economy, and not to mention the uncertainty that businesses would feel with regard to investment. So the key is to have some progress on trade, and it is an urgent issue.
Has the myriad of warnings that are coming from the business community about the state of the economy, is this simply an offshoot of the trade uncertainty, or are there other factors?
Perfect way to state the question. It's trade uncertainty, in my view. Housing is the only other factor that worries me a little bit. Obviously, housing's been somewhat unusual in this expansion. There have been regions of the country where housing shortages have arisen because there's a shortage of workers, construction workers, to build the houses. All in all, housing and interest rates have gone up, which I've heard housing as well. So I would watch that sector. But overall, the economy is still in quite good shape. Consumers, in fact, have seen an appreciation in the equity in their houses, in addition to good jobs growth and wage growth. So I would say consumer demand is going to hang in there. So I'm not at the moment worried about the economy as much as I'm worried about the uncertainty created by this threat of a trade war.
David, thanks for joining us today. David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver, author of the book Understanding Central Banking. And coming up, sizing up the economic and business issues in the crowded race for mayor of Chicago.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A record 21 candidates have filed to run for mayor of Chicago. Let's talk about the business and economic issues that they'll be debating. And joining us now on the International Auto's Orland Park business line is Greg Hines, columnist for Crane Chicago Business. Before we talk about the crowded field in the race for mayor, there is something unfolding at City Hall today in Alderman Ed Burke's office. Does this have the potential to scramble the leaderboard of issues that the mayoral candidates will be discussing heading into February?
Maybe. What it more likely has the alternative of the possibility of scrambling is Ed Burke's political future. It's never good news when the feds raid your office in Chicago. People have wondered for years about Ed Burke and whether he'd be in legal trouble. And while we don't have the details yet on what's occurring, this is when the feds come in and raid your office and you have to put up paper to keep people from looking inside. That is not good news for any politician.
Well, let's go to the mayor's race itself. We're just with so many candidates involved, and you could automatically split them into political establishment types, business establishment types, progressive hopefuls. We've seen a couple of progressive dark horses knock off some big names in Democratic Party politics and other states, in New York City, the congressional race there. Does that potential exist in Chicago in 2019?
In this kind of a field, with this many people, any possibility exists. Even a write-in candidate would make Chris the mayor, I think. There's just so many people running, and normal political divisions are so chopped up into chunks that you really can't handicap it. We'll get a better view when we know what happens in the upcoming petition challenges. They get filed next week, and a good chunk of this field could disappear because they don't have enough signatures. But if it stays anywhere near 21, even a dozen, handicapping is going to be really hard.
What do you think the top issues will be, like the one and the two and the three, the ones that everyone's going to be talking about?
Well, those, I think, unlike the field of candidates, those are pretty certain. Chicago's a worry about safety. We've had this wave of gang violence that's lasted 3 or 4 years, and while it seems to be getting a little better, it still hasn't been cured. The city has huge financial problems, primarily old pension debt that we've been starting to pay it off, but the bills are growing and we're not paying it all off yet. And I think the underlying issue is economic equity. Parts of the city, as we've talked on this show about before, are doing fabulously well in today's economy, the central area and the people who work in the central area, but much of the rest of the city is still kind of caught back in the Rust Belt days, and not much has happened. I think you'll hear a lot of discussion about those three issues in particular.
All right, and more to come. Thanks so much for joining us today, Greg Hines, columnist at Crane Chicago Business. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, some analysts characterize demand for Apple iPhones as soft.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg, sponsored by Elmhurst BMW. And here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we are slightly south of the flat line. The Dow down 53 points, or 0.2%, holding above 25,300. NASDAQ lower by 16 points, and the S&P giving back 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 0.2%. Crude oil futures are soaring. They are up more than 3.5%. to $52.12 a barrel. Selling to teenagers is a risky business. Trends can change in a flash. And for a while, Abercrombie and Fitch found itself out of fashion, but it looks like it's back in style. The company saw sales at its namesake and Hollister stores up in recent months. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And we've had two-sided trade here today. Corn's had a narrow 4-cent range from down down 1.5 to up 2.5. We're presently up 3/4. Beans have been down 8 to up 4. We have May beans down 4, pretty much 3 to 5 lower across the board. And wheat is down 5 at the moment after being up as much as 4. Mixed prices here at the Board of Trade in the grains. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are in the red today. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
Technology Thursday, we focus on Apple today amid sluggish demand for its phones.
Holiday spending can be a secret affair, even between spouses and significant others.
Federal agents raid the City Hall office of powerful Chicago alderman Ed Burke.
And WBBM Market Watch, the Dow is down 62 points, the NASDAQ is down 17, the S&P 500 down 5.
Mostly cloudy this afternoon and a high temperature of 36. It's 33 right now at O'Hare and 34 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour continues. It's presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Stocks are slightly in the red this afternoon, but we're a long way off, or at least this week, as far as this week is concerned, from the roller coaster highs and lows that we've been experiencing. And joining us to talk about the state of the markets at the noon hour is Nick Raish of the website earningscout.com. Nick, welcome back to the program. What is your take on where things are right now? Is the roller coaster over, or are there more dips and twists and turns on the way?
There probably will be some more dips and twists and turns on the way. We had one overhang on the market. And it still could be a potential overhang in 2019. But Jerome Powell of the Fed kind of signaled yesterday that there'll be one more hike in December and then maybe a temporary pause in future interest rate hikes in 2019 till maybe mid-year. That's our expectation. So Now, the Fed's been tightening the screws by raising rates, and it's started to impact the expected corporate profitability for next year for corporate America, and that's starting to weaken. So as that data is starting to weaken and inflation isn't a problem, I think the Fed will back off from rate hikes and just take a pause in their rate hike cycle. That's one of the positives for stocks to go higher. The other obvious overhang would be the trade war talks with China and the U.S. So that is still ongoing, and the ball's now in the Trump administration's court.
Well, Nick, you're based in Cleveland, and I would be remiss to I can't make a reference to roller coasters without talking about Cedar Point down the road in Sandusky.
I've been there, too, yeah.
So maybe the roller coaster ride on Wall Street could rival what's at Cedar Point right now. But,
We'd rather be a smooth ride up.
Yes.
There are a lot of factors out there, and we're getting closer to the end of a cycle where it's been a 10-year growth cycle, driven a lot by stimulus on the monetary side. But our research is indicating that if we get the overhangs of trade off the table and the Fed just pauses temporarily on rates, we think there's at least another 1 to 3 years of growth in this cycle left.
You can price in an interest rate hike. It's not like, even the Federal Reserve whisperers have a good idea of what the Fed chairman is going to say when they issue a policy statement. The back and forth on trade negotiations is a little harder to predict and harder to gauge. Is that the biggest source of uncertainty heading into 2019 is just what happens with these trade talks with China and others?
I think you nailed it there. Yeah, the Fed, we have a little bit more certainty with, a little bit more clarity. When it comes to anything with the Trump administration, things tend to be a little bit more unconventional and less clear. So our take is the tariffs themselves probably aren't as material as impact to the economy as many suggest, and it tends to be more political than economic, but it's still nevertheless economic. We just need to get that overhang off the market, and that could help lift shares higher.
You mentioned the last recession, which was 10 years ago, and there's been talk on and off in recent weeks about, the U.S. economy in that way. What would have to happen before we see another recession?
Well, I think the one would be the Fed stop tightening the screws on the economy. That's one. And then I think the other obvious factor, and there's hundreds of more factors, but the two big ones would be the Fed stop tightening, which I think we're going to get, and that's why we saw the market rally so much yesterday. Again, the other one would be just clearing the path on trade, because the one thing that we're concerned with, again, the amounts of the tariffs don't really add much to the economy. What we're concerned with is, what does it do to CEO confidence if they're worried about trade, and do they stop their capital spending plans for 2019? Which could then really impact growth and then send us to a recession sooner than we would need to be there.
What do you like right now? Do you like the technology stocks, or what areas or segments would you be interested in?
We had been very negative on technology through mid-year and said the parts of the technology space were in a bubble, but did not want to confuse that with an overall bubble market by any means. But given that some of the semiconductors now have really fallen off, technology is starting to become, out of the 11 sectors, one of our third or fourth best favorite sectors right now. So we're warming back up on that. But we've had a defensive posture where the real estate sector, the healthcare sector are one and two bets right now, and we've been avoiding the energy sector, which is bouncing nice today, but it's really come under pressure.
And speaking of the energy sector, I mean, what's your take on what's happening with oil right now? Do you see any stability taking place in that market? And can drivers expect either relief or more pain at the pump going forward?
Well, I think the pain at the pump should be a little bit less at the pump pain, because there's so much supply. The production from the oil companies is too high, so there's a lot of supply of oil as global demand has waned off. Again, the Fed pausing rates, though, can maybe help some of the emerging market growth start to stabilize. And if that goes, the demand for oil will go up, and that could help stabilize the oil markets as we're seeing them readjust today, potentially off the news of the Fed pausing in 2019. And again, it's a pause. The Fed's going to continue raising interest rates. But with the data weakening and inflation, near-term inflation not a problem, the best course of action from the Fed is just to take a wait-and-see approach on interest rates on their path up, and wait for the dust to settle and let the data stabilize again, because it, like I said, the economic data here was beginning to weaken here in third quarter earnings season.
Nick, nice to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us. Nick Raich is CEO of the Earnings Scout in Cleveland, and the website is earningsscout.com. Just ahead in Technology Thursday, we'll have an update on Apple and the sale of its latest phones.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and some analysts have cut expectations for shares of Apple amid fear of slow iPhone sales. We're joined by Mark Gurman, consumer technology reporter at Bloomberg. Mark, welcome back to the program. Is it true that, you know, that Apple is such a market mover that if Apple sneezes, the rest of the market's got a cold?
That's a great way to put it. That's absolutely the case. They control so much of the market in terms of who their partners are, their suppliers are, and investors in Apple's competitors, other technology companies, are consistently looking at Apple for guidance because they know that they control the environment.
That, which is remarkable, considering that Facebook and Facebook and Amazon seem to have deeper roots in many other sectors of the American economy and in American life, that Apple still does lead the way when it comes to the rest of the tech world.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Apple, despite the other companies, has so much influence, mostly because of how strong their market capitalization is. Because their market cap is so big, they were at $1.16 trillion a couple weeks ago, now around 850. They were just this. It's just so dominant. It shakes the whole world. So, like as you said, they sneeze, everyone else gets sick.
Do we know what's behind the slow sales of iPhones?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the competition is so strong right now from some phone makers like Huawei and Oppo in China. China was a very big market for Apple. That's slowing down. People are put off in some respects at the higher price points. There's this conundrum, do you get the iPhone XR or the iPhone XS? They're so similar, but the XR is $250 cheaper. Other concerns have to do with the slowing overall smartphone market, people upgrading at slower paces. So there is absolutely rationale for why this is happening.
And do they have a plan? What are they going to do?
They do have a plan. They're going to, you know, push these things. They're going to do more promotions. They're working to turn this around, but that doesn't hide the fact that the company's still been in search of its next big thing, the successor to the iPhone, for many years. People thought that would be the Apple Watch in 2015, but that's clearly not the case.
From what you cover on your beat, what is the other Apple or anything else? What is the next one to be?
The next big product category?
Yes.
Probably something in artificial intelligence, whether that's a voice-first system, sort of an Echo, Amazon Echo, if you will, for your pocket that replaces the phone, a smartwatch that could eventually replace the phone, something in the self-driving car space. There's many different directions, augmented reality that these companies are working toward. It's just about finding the one that's going to resonate with consumers like the iPhone did. And I guess the bigger question is, will there ever be something that resonates with consumers like the iPhone did?
Well, thank you very much for the insights, Mark Gurman, consumer technology reporter at Bloomberg. And still to come, how a secret Santa can be a financially dangerous person.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The term secret Santa evokes thoughts of holiday fun and giving, but there can be a dark side when it's applied to couples and families. Joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Mark. I guess we're talking about honesty at times like this. What is the problem and what do we do about it?
So, Chris, you hit the nail on the head. It's honesty and communication and being comfortable talking with your partner or your spouse about what priorities you might have respectively around gift giving, whether it's the holidays or birthdays, and then getting on the same page there. So you're absolutely right. It's communication.
And not communicating to your spouse about how much you paid for something or how much you intend to pay for something. And this trickles into your life after the holiday.
It does. And it's remarkable, actually. A recent survey from Quicken, which is a software company that specializes in helping people budget, said that 7 out of 10 of the people that they surveyed agreed, their spouses agreed on what the budget was going to be for the holidays. And of the of those agreements, 47% of those people also confessed that they deceived their spouse on an on a budget that they've agreed to, which at, on the surface is maybe a little comical, but then when you look further, that in divorce and so the end of relationships, frequently lack of communication around money is cited as if not the number one a very important factor in relationships not working out, then that becomes less funny. So I've got my wife and I've got four kids. I know the urge to want to give the kids all the things that they're asking for. Just the economic reality of budgets makes that not possible for, I think, most people. And so getting on the same page with your spouse about what's a legitimate spending goal for gift giving is important. And then actually also it opens up a great opportunity to talk with your kids after the holidays or after a birthday and sit down with them to say, hey, for the gift that you didn't get that you were hoping for, let's put together a goal that maybe you save half the money towards that gift and mom and dad will match the rest. So there's lots of creative ways to deal with this, but talking about it is the number one issue.
And very quickly, this sounds like an issue that's also tied into married couples having separate credit cards or separate bank accounts where the other can't see the statements.
So I think that's true, Rob. And I think in relationships, of course, relationships have to be grounded in trust. So I think to come at it from a perspective of I need to see what's going on in my partner's bank account or in their credit card. I'm not sure that's the best path to go down. Ultimately, I think we need to trust the people that we're in relationships with. But that goes both ways. That if I agree with my wife that the spending level is going to be X, then I need to stick with that. But then the relationship also needs to allow for a certain amount of flexibility. That if I'm out shopping for the kids and I see that the Barbie jumbo jet is on sale, but I know that that's not part of the budget, that my wife needs to be flexible enough to allow me to go ahead and spend that little extra money if there's a sale that I just can't pass up. So there's not really hard and fast rules here. It comes down to communication, trust, and flexibility with one another.
Well, thank you very much. Good advice in many areas. Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management, based in Oak Brook. If you miss any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a look at the markets. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, we are headed lower, but just slightly, with the Dow off 45 points, NASDAQ down 15, S&P lower by 3, the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down about 0.1%, a big deal for locally based Kraft Heinz. The company is acquiring Primal Nutrition. That company makes Primal kitchen branded products for $200 million. Primal is an organic food company that makes condiments, cooking sauces, and marinades. Crude oil futures are in a rally mode today. They're higher by more than 3% at $51.92 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.